interest and your prayers as we come before you this morning. You know, there's a number of places in Scripture where the Lord says, fear not. If you would do a search, you'd get a whole page full, and then some more with the variations in the way that is presented to us. Fear not. Well, God knew that there would be times in our lives when we need to hear that. And we need to hear it from God. I can tell you to fear not. It wouldn't do you any good, would it? I mean, it might help to be reminded, but I don't have the power to protect you. I don't have the wisdom to know all that's going on. I don't have what I need to be able to authoritatively and effectively speak those words in such a way that can bring peace to your heart. But God can. He can. And he does. And many places, I don't intend to go to many places in the Scripture. I try to be mindful of the time, Brother John, but I want to bring some thoughts to you about this fear not. Where's fear come from?
Satan.
Pardon?
Satan.
Thank you. Satan. Where's the first mention of fear in the Bible? Do you know that? Back in Genesis, right? After man had done what?
Disobeyed.
I think I'm starting to get the picture. Sin, obedience, and God came on the scene. And Adam and Eve hid themselves. Why?
Fear.
They were afraid. The Lord said, where art thou, Adam? Don't you know the Lord doesn't need a GPS? The Lord knew exactly their location. He was pointing out their condition. Where art thou? They were in sin. And they were fearful. Do you know that's one of Satan's favorite tools? And you can rest assured that he's at the root of every fear. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, when the Lord said, where art thou, Adam? They hid themselves. He says, because I was afraid. Now, let me go ahead and get 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Fear does not come from God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but what has he given us? Power and love and of a sound mind. Now let me show you something that's interesting. Before we encounter this in Genesis chapter 3 about man being afraid, back in Genesis chapter 1, when God created all the animals, the fish of the sea, and the animals on the earth, and all the creeping things, the beasts of the field, do you know what the Lord told him? Have dominion over them. God is saying, you've got power over them. What did God give us? He's not given us the spirit of fear. You know, there's a lot of animals nowadays I'm afraid of in my fallen condition. But Adam was told to have dominion over them. Don't fear, Adam. I've given you dominion over them. So you see, God from the beginning has, it's no different now when he says he's not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. It's no different than what he said in the early part of Genesis. Isn't that great? That when God says something, he means it. It's the truth, and it always will be the truth. You can count on it. Now listen, could you use some of that confidence today? When we're hearing so many things that we don't understand, that doesn't make sense, that we don't know what to think sometimes with what we're hearing in our world today, this always makes sense. This is always right, and it'll always be right. We don't have to worry about the 2021 revisions to the Bible. It's right, it'll always be right. So when we think about this fear that Satan likes to strike in our hearts, you know, Peter warned us about our adversary the devil. 1 Peter 5. Our adversary as a roaring lion goeth to and fro, seeking whom he may what?
Devour.
He's not your friend. He doesn't look, he's not after your good. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it looks like. He's not your friend. I'll tell you who your friend is. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. There's your friend. He's always there for us. He knows the situation better than we do. We can always call upon him for the help we need. Now, we're also good for us to remember 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You see, all of these scriptures will help us if we keep them in memory. That's what Paul meant when he, early in 1 Corinthians 15. You can read it. I won't take time to quote it. But it'll save you if you keep these things in memory. When we forget the Word of God, when we try to make it in our own strength and in our own intellect, that's when we get in trouble, isn't it? But as long as we remember the Lord, as long as we remember his word, as long as we remember his promises, as long as we remember his power and his love and his mercy for us, it'll help us. It'll allay those fears. It'll give us confidence and strength. It'll give us what we need to face the day. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 seconds. God does. I don't know what's going to happen next week. God does. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be upon this earth. God does. So as we think about what we have in the Lord, and when we think about his power, his might, his glory, and when we remember those things, and when our minds are set on things above and not on things on the earth, it will help us tremendously as we go through this life. Now I want to get several verses where maybe I'll get three, we'll see. Excuse me. Where the Lord has told some in his word to fear not. Now we'll go to Abraham first of all. Remember when Lot was taken captive and Abraham took his hired servants and he went and rescued Lot from all those kings in that area? Do you imagine that Abraham wondered if there was going to be some repercussions to that? Do you think Abraham thought, well, you know, all those kings, they just might come back and do something about that? I think that's a very real concern. You remember what the Lord told him? Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Let's turn to that real quick. Should have had it marked. Here we go. I did. Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, That's good already. You see, again, it's not me saying that. It's the Lord. The one who has all wisdom, who has all power, who loves us, who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's saying, fear not. Well, if the Lord is telling us to fear not, wouldn't it do well for us to do what he says? I understand. Dangers are real. It really grips us. And just to say to somebody, fear not, is really not going to get the job done. But what we need to remember is this is by faith. This is not by sight. Can God be trusted? Yes, every time. Every time. And so God in his word is telling Abram here, and this is, you know, like we're told in Romans, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we may through patience and comfort of the scriptures have hope. These Old Testament scriptures are there for our learning, for our patience, and for our hope. And the more we understand them, the more we depend upon it, the more we understand about how God deals with his people, how merciful and gracious and kind and loving he is, the more it will help us to face life every day. Because, bless your hearts, fear weakens us. Weakens our body, weakens our mind, weakens our resolve. It weakens us. It makes us feel like we're alone, that we don't have any help. Doesn't it? And it clouds our mind. We're not thinking like we should. Now, I intentionally put it in that order because, remember what I said, 2 Timothy 1:7, remember that verse, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. We don't have the power, but God does. Love. We're not by ourselves. God is with us. And a sound mind. The more we're dependent upon him, the more we're thinking about him, the more we're trusting God to take care of our situation, the more soundness we have in our thinking. I could use a little of that, couldn't you? I mean, life is just, sometimes it's frustrating, sometimes it runs the whole gamut of things. Sometimes we're a little fearful about making it to an appointment. That's not much, is it? And then sometimes there's big fears. But God's the same in every one of them. He's as kind and gracious and faithful to us in every one of them, no matter whether it's big or small. And sometimes a little thing to a little feller can be a big thing. And sometimes a little thing to us big fellers can be a big thing. But God is the same in all of that. He's a very present help in trouble. You know why? Well, he's already with us. He's with us at all times. Troubles come and go. He's more present than our trouble. And he'll stay with us. I tell you, the more we can think about that, the greater help it'll be for us. All right? Abraham, the Lord told him, "Fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, what I want to get out of this one is this. God told Abram, to fear not because he was fearing the repercussions of being faithful to God. When we trust God to help us in our needs, we can trust him no matter what. We can leave the consequences to him. Isn't that wonderful? That it's not up to us to figure out all these things. We can leave the consequences to Him. If we're doing what He says, we can trust that He'll be like Isaiah speaks about. He's our rearward. That is, He'll come behind and take care of the consequences. Oh, as we think about our God, how much He loves us, how much He has blessed us, how much He watches over us and cares for us each day, what a blessing that is. Peter would tell us, 1 Peter 3:13, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? I think that'd be a good verse to remember, wouldn't you? All right. There's other verses we could go to, but we'll let that suffice. All right. There's another time early in, into Genesis. Do you remember Sarah's handmaid, Hagar? Remember when she was sent out? And I may have to read a little bit here. Genesis 21. If you remember the story, you remember that Hagar and her child, Ishmael, was sent out. And she was in the desert. And I won't take time to go into a lot of this. Verse 14, Genesis 21, verse 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. Now that's a problem out in the desert, isn't it? The water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him in a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. Can you imagine a mother knowing that death is imminent for a child? I can't imagine, can you? And she placed the child under a shrub and went a distance off because she didn't want to witness the child dying. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. You can understand that, can't you? Can you imagine the torment that she's feeling right now? She had no ability whatsoever to help that child that she loved so much. And God heard the voice of the lad. It's getting better now. And the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. Well, just like a lot of other times, just to hear the words fear not may not satisfy the feelings that we have at the moment. Fear not. Listen carefully. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Did you hear that? God, it didn't say that God just knows what the need is. God heard the voice of this lad where he is. That's how God comes to our aid. He comes to us where we are. He doesn't wait for us to try to get to him. He comes to us where we are. Isn't that wonderful? I want you to hear that. I want you to know that that's the truth of God's word, that he comes to us where we are, whatever the need might be. He's able to take care of the need. And he comes to us where we are. He heard the child where he is. Wow, there's so much in that. We could spend a lot of time right there. how God comes to us, how God knows, how God, it's not where he was, it's where he is. Isn't that wonderful that God is able to do that? Do you think about that when you're in trouble? You think about that when you're concerned about something? God knows what our afflictions are. He knows where we are. And he comes to us. And God blessed on that occasion. They lifted up their eyes and there was a well of water. What else could you want when you're dying of thirst? You see, God provides exactly what the need is. He doesn't give us something we can't use. He doesn't give us something we don't need. He provides exactly what the need is. And he's right on time. He's right on time. So much more we could say about that. Over in Genesis 46, you remember after Joseph had made himself known unto his brethren, plans were made to go back home and get their father. But when they went back home and told their father that Joseph was alive, isn't that the greatest news that a father could hear if he thought that all these years his child had been dead? Jacob, did he believe it? He could not believe the message. I won't take time to read the verses. But Pharaoh was so pleased with these arrangements that he told Joseph to take plenty of provisions. And then he also sent wagons so that they could load up their stuff. That's a good Bible word, isn't it? It's in there. They could load up their things and bring them back. Don't worry about whatever you might have to leave, Pharaoh said. Just come on down and enjoy the best of the land of Egypt. God had provided for them to have the land, the Goshen, for their herds and so forth. But it speaks, let me see, I guess I need to read a little bit of it here. Genesis 46. When they told Jacob all the words of Joseph, this is Genesis 45. Verse 27, they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And I told you now, and if you read more of this, you'll find out that he just wasn't believing their report. But it says, and when he saw the wagons. I mean, one wagon, just put yourself in that place. Jacob, not believing the report. But then here come the wagons. One wagon after, not just one wagon after another. There was provisions for them. There was wagons there that was going to take all their things back to Egypt. There was an abundance of evidence for Jacob to see and to understand what they were trying to tell him. Now, when we're faced with situations in life, you know, I think that it's very common for us to think that God is able to deliver. But what's also very common for us to think is, I don't know if he'll do it for me. You ever felt that way? I got a lot of nods on that one. You know, that's unbelief. That's doubting. Well, God said it. He can't lie. The problem is not with God. The problem's with me. I'm not even going to say you. It's with me. But what happened when he saw the wagons? He heard the words. But when he saw the evidences that backed up what they were saying, he began to rejoice. Here's our message. Here's our takeaway from that. You know, we got a song that we sing sometimes, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Do you know that's a good exercise? Because it reminds you how often God has blessed you. And you can't get to the end of that number. You never will. Because he daily loads us with benefits. But you can forget about them. You can get so busy in this world that the things, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world would choke out the effect of what that would have upon you to remember them. And so the best thing we can do is on a regular basis, remember, count the evidences, look for those evidences in our lives and count the ways and remember those things and lay it to heart, the many ways that God is looking out after us, is providing for us, that will help us to more strongly trust in his promises in the days ahead. I'm sure Jacob, at his age, the last thing he wanted to do was move. You know, I've gotten to that age myself. The last thing I want to do is have to move. You know, I'm sure he had 1,000 excuses as to why he shouldn't go. But none of that mattered, because God had provision for him where he was going. He was coming back. Oh, well, he would die there, but God had provisions for him, and God was going to take care of him. And brethren, if we could think and remember all the promises and the good things that God has done for us and the ways he's delivered us in the past, the way he's taking care of us in the future today, and what he has promised to us in the future, if we can remember that, if we can set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth, it will bless us tremendously. Try it. Try it. See if it isn't so. Fear not. God has said over and over and over in his word, fear not. Now there's a healthy fear. I don't have time to get into that. I won't take the time. I'll do that some other time. But there's a healthy fear. And that's the fear of the Lord. And that's that awesome reverence and respect that we're to have from his word that teaches us and tells us and reminds us that if God said it, that's what we should do. Fear God, keep his commandments. But as far as the circumstances of this world, he says, fear not. I hope you'll remember that. Brother John, come ahead. May the Lord bless you, sir.